Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinton Sports Podcast on this 3rd of October 2016. As we discuss the world of sports and pop culture, this NFL edition of the podcast, as always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald or go to Instagram and follow me at Real Gerald Quinn, iTunes.apple.com. Look up Cyril Gerald Quinton Sports Podcast. Again, on this 3rd of October 2016, thank you for joining me and joining the program. As always, we begin with the game of the week, but there was not one game that was worthy of being the game of the week. So you know what? We're going to begin with the Washington Redskins, who won their second straight game, 31-20, over the Cleveland Browns, who, frankly, let's be honest, are barely an NFL football team. I mean, the Cleveland is so bad. It is so bad. It's not even, it's just a horrible football team. But, that beating Cleveland does count, thankfully, in the standings. If you're a fan of the Washington Redskins, 31-20, big day out Kirk Cousins, big day out Matt Jones. Again, some of the issues that the Redskins have had rear their ugly heads. Number one, guys getting injured. I mean, they're defensively, they're losing guys left and right. Ryan Kerrigan, Sue Cravens were the latest two Redskins stars to leave the game. Compton was in and out. But the major issue the Redskins are having right now, frankly, let's be honest, is stopping a run. They can't stop anybody right now. If I were Cleveland, Isaiah Crowell would have had, 200 yards rushing. They should have ran him 30 times in that game, and they could have ran him 30 times in that game. Why, they had a couple fumbles by, Duke Johnson and then the other running back who I don't know, who for whatever reason got a carry in that game. I forgot what the guy's name is. He only got one carry and fumble. Now again, the Duke Johnson fumble, we know that was a phantom fumble when the game was still in the balance at 24-20. That's what happens when you're a terrible football team. You don't get any breaks in terms of the Cleveland Browns. But again, the Redskins take care of business at home. They had to have that game in the worst way to sustain the Giant victory last week. You can't beat the Giants in MetLife and then come back and lose at home to the Cleveland Browns. It would have been a disgrace. You felt good in the opening first quarter, 14-0, and you thought to yourself, maybe if you're a Redskins fan, maybe this has 31-10, 28-14, something a comfortable victory written all over it. That was not the case. Cleveland got the running game going. Pryor had a big first half, though Norman shut him down in the second half, as Pryor only had one catch for 5 yards in the second half. But Cleveland was in the game for most of for the duration of the game. Redskins pulled away late, thanks to Cleveland turnovers. Cleveland had three straight possessions, three straight turnovers. Again, Washington caught a break with the phantom fumble. Duke Johnson fumbled, and he did not. He recovered the fumble. It was a missed call. Listen, officials miss calls all the time in the NFL. It's nothing new. Fortunately for Washington, they were on the right side of that. Certainly, they've been on the wrong side of many of balls not bouncing their way. That was a case where the ball did not bounce Cleveland's way. They recovered a fumble, but it was ruled by the official to be Washington's ball, and thankfully for them, Cleveland was driving at that point in the game at the Redskins 43-yard line, down only 4 points. Again, Washington can't stop anybody from running. Moving forward, they're going to have to get creative defensively. They can't generate any type of pass rush naturally, so they're going to have to blitz. They're going to have to take chances. They're going to have to continue to force turnovers. They forced 6 turnovers in their last 2 games. the thing about that is you can't depend on that consistently because, one of these games, the team is only going to have one turnover or maybe not turn over the ball at all, and you're going to actually go out – they're going to go out there and actually stop somebody from running the ball down their throats. Kirk Cousins played well. Matt Jones for the second straight game had a big game, had a nice game. The Redskins, again, ran the ball a lot in this game. They only threw only 27 passes for Cousins. He was accurate, 21 of 27, three touchdowns, just one interception. And again, I'm not one of these people who is gauging every single Kirk Cousins movement or mistake or pass. I don't hold him to that standard. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Tom Brady. He's not on that level of quarterback. So, if he throws an interception or if he holds the ball too long, I'll accept it and move on. Like, I'm not gauging Kirk Cousins, every Kirk Cousins mistake to be like to be Armageddon here. I think that's, unfortunately, due to the type of money he's making, we somewhat just overanalyze Kirk Cousins. Like, let's calm down. The guy was 21 for 27, three touchdowns and one interception, and basically made all the right reads over the course of the game. So Washington improves to 2-2. Baltimore next week at Baltimore won't be easy. Won't have to travel far, of course. But definitely a winnable game. We'll talk more about that, of course. We have an entire week to kind of chew on that. But they improved their record to 2-2. Cleveland falls to 0-4. And again, Cleveland probably is the worst team in the NFL. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be back with much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. (347) 215-6180 is your call number. Of course, tonight we have Monday Night Football, Minnesota hosting the New York Giants. Giants at 2-1, coming off trying to get that nasty taste out of their mouth, coming off the Washington home loss last week, a game that they easily could have won, probably should have won, but lost 29-27. Vikings trying to continue to stay perfect amongst the undefeated teams, along with Denver and the Philadelphia Eagles, trying to prove their record to 4-0. It's gonna be a fun game to watch in terms of contrast of styles, Giant offense versus that great Minnesota defense. That Minnesota defense is real. That is a physical defense. They can cover on the back end. They can rush the passer with the front seven. They are as physical and as talented of a defense that there is in football right now. I think the only defense that's probably better, I can make a case being better, is the Denver Broncos defense that continues to roll. And it's all, that continues to roll by based on what they did yesterday against Tampa. But the Minnesota defense is real. Very interesting to see how the Giants match up. Giants are probably going to have to run the ball to keep Minnesota off Eli. Minnesota has had some historic great performances against Eli Manning. They've had some, Eli doesn't have to worry about, Darren Sharper. For more than one, more reasons than one, we all know his story, but they've had some success against Minnesota, against Eli and the Giants, in over the course of during his tenure. Very interesting to see how they match up. Should be a very good game. Two solid teams going at it. Minnesota has a beautiful new stadium that Minnesota has that will host next year's, not this year, but next year's Super Bowl. Dallas takes out San Francisco 24-17. Dallas got off to a slow start, down 14-0. But, again, Dallas has the two young stars, then Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, who continues to play well. San Francisco, you know, they're a bad team, but they're not. They've actually played better than I thought that they were. I thought that they were going to play this season. Their defense, they actually play hard. They play very hard. San Francisco, you know, they blew out the, you know, they dominated the Rams in the first game. Even in their losses, where they've been going against teams that are much, you know, much better than them, they fought. This game was no different. Came out, jumped out on Dallas, but again, you know, Dallas's overall talent, especially on the offensive end with the offensive line, was just too much for San Francisco to handle. Don't hold your breath on waiting for Colin Kaepernick to, you know, to take snaps. I mean, unless Blaine Gabbert gets hurt, even if he gets hurt, that might not guarantee that Kaepernick gets on the field. San Francisco does not want to see Colin Kaepernick get on the field. Trust me. So I don't care how poorly Gabbert plays. There's very little to no chance that you will see Colin Kaepernick on the football field playing. You'll see him on the sidelines kneeling, but you're not going to see him on the football field playing. So, I keep hearing about, you know, like, when are we going to see him? How bad does Gabbert have to be? Gabbert could be the worst quarterback in the NFL. It doesn't matter. If he's healthy, he's going to be on the field. That's all there is to it. Pittsburgh, 43, Kansas City, 14, a big bounce back performance from the Pittsburgh Steelers. They improved to 3-1. Kansas City falls to 2-2. This game was over in the first quarter. Pittsburgh, you know, Mike Tomlin deemed it Redemption Sunday, and it was certainly that and much more. Big days out of Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, the usual suspects. But the big story of the game to me was the return of one Le'Veon Bell, who, when he's healthy and not suspended, is the best running back in football. This guy is like, you know, has Marshall Faulk type skills. 18 carries, 144 yards, had I think 5 catches for 34 yards. This guy is just unstoppable. You cannot cover him with a linebacker. You actually have to cover him with a cornerback. You can't even cover him with a safety. I mean, that's how good of a receiver he is. Does not need a lot of rushes to gain a lot of yards. He's going to be fresh because you have D'Angelo Williams. I mean, that is the Pittsburgh offense is lethal. When they click it on all, you know, when they're clicking and when they have all their people on all their pieces, they're virtually unstoppable. And there's an offense that can not only that can play in bad weather. So when it gets cold, you can run those guys. We know Roethlisberger is a great bad weather quarterback, and we know they can run the football and not just count on throwing the ball to Antonio Brown and Sammy Coates. I mean, they haven't even gotten Marcus Wheaton going yet. Like that's the scary part. So that offense is, again, I think from top to bottom, the best offense in football, the most complete offense in football. They have an improved offensive line, and they were flexing their muscles last night. I'm not even knocking Kansas City last night. Kansas City had no chance in that game. It wasn't even about Kansas City. It was about the Steelers, you know, getting off the schneid and just, you know, getting that bad taste out of their mouths, getting destroyed by the Eagles in the prior week. So Steelers bounced back. They improved to 3-1 of the season. Kansas City falls to 2-2. Jamal Charles did come back, got limited action, but the fact that he was on the field is a major win for the Kansas City Chiefs. When we return, we're going to switch gears a little bit and get into some college football. It was a big weekend from Friday on through Saturday in terms of the weekend that was in college football. 3 top 10 matchups. We'll talk about that and much, much more in this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. (347) 215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. First weekend that felt like fall this weekend. You know, that it really felt like, I know fall started, you know, roughly, what, 2 weeks ago. But it really felt like this weekend is like, okay, the weather, overcast, rain. It felt like we are now officially into the fall season. I know it's going to be warming up a little bit now, especially down where I'm at. But, you know, and I like fall. I like fall and spring. So I have no problem with it. I'm done with the heat for at least till next June. As far as the college football goes, it was a big weekend for the colleges. Louisville Clemson lived up to all the billing. I know you had 8 turnovers in that game, but you saw, I feel like, the best player in college football still in Lamar Jackson. Again, Deshaun Watson, if Clemson finishes undefeated, Deshaun Watson will probably win the Heisman Trophy. But I still walked away. I walked away three things about that game. One, Clemson showed you that they've gotten to the point that they are a big game team. They are, like, Clemson, that was the difference in the game. I didn't even think the home field meant anything. I thought Louisville was a little shaky in the beginning with some of the penalties, some sloppy play, but I thought that eventually by halftime they got over the fact that they were playing in Death Valley. I thought physically Louisville looked to me like the more impressive team, but I thought that Clemson handled the moment better than Louisville, and that to me was the difference in the game. I think Louisville on a neutral field is a better team than Clemson. I think Louisville certainly did nothing to hurt their chances, I feel, to make the playoffs. You don't have to go undefeated to make the playoffs. The ACC, if you check the rankings, has six teams in the top 25, and Florida State this year doesn't even matter anymore as they lost, again, at home to North Carolina, and that defense can't stop anybody at this point. So, Florida State's not even a factor. Miami could be a bigger factor than Florida State at this point right now. But I was very impressed by Louisville on the road. Very impressed by Lamar Jackson. Listen, they got in there. They knocked him around. The Clemson front seven is real. Their Clemson front seven can get to any quarterback. They're a physical group. They got under his skin. They hit him late, hit him often. But with all that being said, the guy, you know, accounted for about 457 total yards. And amazingly, he had 31 carries for 162 yards. I mean, and he took a beating. He took an absolute beating. But, you know, give him a lot of credit. Deshaun Watson had a couple of interceptions that probably wasn't his fault, but he didn't make the necessary plays that he had to make. And these were two of the top four teams in all of football, all of college football. It's just not even a debate. Along with Alabama, Ohio State. These two teams are two of the top four, top five teams in all college football. So, impressive game despite 8 turnovers. Normally, you think 8 turnovers, game's incredibly sloppy. No, there was just a lot of guys out there making great plays, and you always have to tip your hat to guys who are going out there and making plays. Impressive victory for Michigan over Wisconsin. That was the polar opposite of Louisville, Clemson. 14-7, classic knockdown, drag out, physical Big Ten matchup. We know how great Michigan's defense is. Wisconsin did not do anything to embarrass itself on the road. That was a tough spot that was a tough spot for Wisconsin. I didn't think they were going to win the game. Michigan had to have the game. Michigan should have won the game. And now you look at the Big Ten, we are headed towards a showdown late November. High noon, Michigan, Ohio State, where who knows, depending on how things shape out, they could be ranked, 2 and 3, 3 and 4. It depends. Who knows? I fully expect Alabama to still be ranked number 1. So I'm guessing that they could be probably 2 and 3 in the rankings, depending on what happens with Clemson. 2 and 3 or 2 and 4. To be honest, the loser of that game, only one team is coming out the Big Ten. Only one team. So that will decide which one of those teams, Ohio State, Michigan, that game will decide which one of those teams makes it to the playoffs. No, they're not. The Big Ten is not getting more than one team, period. I don't see the SEC getting more than one team. So the only conference that has the potential to get more than one team, I feel like, is the ACC. Clemson and Louisville legitimately both could get out, could make the playoffs. The third top 10 matchup you had on Friday night, got a chance to see a lot of this game, was Washington and Stanford. And Washington, I was more impressed with Washington than I was disappointed in Stanford. I don't think Stanford was a great team coming in. Thought they were a little overrated, overranked. Washington showed you that they are legit top 7, top 8 team. Destroyed Stanford 44-6, pushed them all over the field. Washington has a bunch of athletes. They have guys that can rush the passer. They have a great secondary. They have speed up and they have speed up and down the board. I was extremely impressed with Washington. One of the commentators mentioned it. They play like a SEC team. They really do. In terms of their speed. Now, listen, would they beat Alabama on neutral field Probably not. But and who has beaten Alabama on a neutral field in the last 4 or 5 years? Not too many teams. But I was impressed with Washington. We'll see how they bounce back. Not bounce back. We'll see how they respond to that, you know, to a little prosperity against Oregon this week. Oregon has had their number beat. I think they've beaten Oregon. Oregon's beaten like 12 straight times. Though not a good Oregon team this year. We know that's not a vintage Oregon team. The big theme of this weekend to me, Louisville, Clemson, Louisville, impressive in victory and defeat. Michigan taking care of business. You're going to have, at the end of the college football season, you are going to have some big-time jobs open with Texas, LSU, and Oregon. That Texas job is going to be open. Charlie Strong will not be their coach in 2017. The job is too – Texas has too many resources. They have their own network. That job is waiting for Tom Herman, or if Jimbo Fisher decides to leave Florida State or coach of that caliber. It's the best job in college football. In terms of resources, the Texas job and recruiting, the Texas job is the best job in college football. So that job will be open. The LSU job we know will be open, one of the top 5 jobs in college football. And Oregon is a top, legit top 10 job. You know, anytime you deal with dealing with Phil Knight and all the resources they have with Nike, it's a top job as well. So you're going to have three legitimately top 10, top 15 college football jobs open at the end of the season. 347-215-6180 is the call number. When we return, we'll get back to some NFL action and much, much more in this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. Monday Night Football is about to start. Giants, Vikings should be a very good game. Great defense versus a top offense in the Giants. We know how many weapons they have with Odell Beckham and Victor Cruz. And now, you know, this Shepherd kid out of Oklahoma seems to be a perfect complement to both Beckham and Victor Cruz. The Giant running game is not the greatest. We understand that. But again, they run well enough just to keep you keep the other team honest. Odell Beckham is and Eli Manning, their bread is buttered in terms of that offense. And we'll see the Giants pass rush can affect Bradford. Bradford has played well as the Vikings quarterback. And again, keep your eyes on that Viking defense. It is a legit top 2 defense without question. Physical, Eli is going to have to get rid of the ball quickly, or it's going to be a long evening for the Giants. Buffalo 16-0 over the New England Patriots. Buffalo improves to 2-2. On the season, Patriots fall to 3-1, and at some point, New England had to have a flat performance. Like this was set up to be a flat performance at home in the division. You can only go. Listen, Bill Belichick is a genius, great coach. We all know how great, good of a coach, or great of a coach he is. But listen, you can only go so long with a backup quarterback, especially a third-string quarterback. I mean, if Garofalo plays, that's a whole nother story. He had been playing great football. But, you know, Jacoby Brissett, that guy, you know, and listen, he did his job against Houston, had a couple big runs, but he's a third-string quarterback for a reason. I guess a legit NFL defense, that's not going to last for long. I don't give Buffalo a lot of credit. I don't take anything away from Buffalo despite the fact that he wasn't there. It was a divisional road victory. You don't give NFL victories back. So that was a good, you know, that was a nice win, great win for Buffalo. Their defense controlled the entire game. They got enough in terms of their running attack to kind of keep the New England defense at bay. Good win for Buffalo. Not a big deal for New England. Tom Brady is back in the building, so we'll see how, you know, what transpires with that. Expect, you know, Brady. But people are expecting Brady to go out there on this wild tear as far as chip on his shoulder. I mean, he played. I feel like Brady's had a chip on his shoulder since, you know, 1999 or since the 2000 draft. I don't think that's changed. I don't think the chip can get. Can the chip get any bigger if you're Tom Brady? I mean, seriously, the guy was six quarterbacks went ahead of him in the 2000 draft. So I don't think he could be any more motivated to win at this point. It's about his legacy and about adding, you know, trying to get another championship. So I don't think, like I said, this Deflategate, I don't think it's going to motivate him and make him play better football. I think he already has a pretty big chip on his shoulder. Seattle over the Jets, 27-17. Seattle improves to 3-1. The Jets fall to 1-3. The Jets are in the midst of one of the toughest stretches I've ever seen a team begin a NFL year in terms of the schedule. I mean, it is brutal. What did the New York Jets do to the scheduling gods of the NFL? Like, what did they do to deserve this schedule? I mean, week after week after week, powerhouse after powerhouse. Next week they have Pittsburgh. So it doesn't get any easier for the Jets. At some point, if you're Todd Bowles, you have to evaluate or reevaluate the quarterback position. Ryan Fitzpatrick has 9 interceptions in his last 2 games. 9. Think about that for a second. The Jets could not run the ball against Seattle, which was not a surprise. Vintage Seattle performance. Russell Wilson played great. Jimmy Graham seems to kind of be getting back on, you know, back to where, at least close to back to where he was when he was with the Saints. Had a 100-yard receiving day. The Seahawks defense does what the Seahawks defense does, turn you over. Had about 4 sacks, 3 interceptions. And again, I think if you're the Jets, you just got to consider making a change at quarterback just to make a change. I mean, just to shake things up. I mean, the guy can't keep throwing interceptions at this rate. I mean, because the Jets defense is still pretty good. He still have an above average defense. You got a quarterback turning the ball over the way Fitzpatrick is turning the ball over. Your team doesn't have a chance. I mean, they could not run Matt Forte the way they wanted to run Matt Forte because they didn't have the football. So the Jets fall to 1-3. The Seahawks, who look like the class of the NFC right now, improved to 3-1. 347-215-6180 is the call number. When we return, we're going to talk some baseball and continue with the NFL on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. 407-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. Of course, the baseball playoffs will begin tomorrow with the wild card games. You'll have the Mets hosting San Francisco Wednesday. Tomorrow you're going to have Toronto hosting Baltimore. It should be a exciting game, a high-scoring game. Divisional series will be Dodgers, Nationals hosting the Dodgers, and the Red Sox. And the Red Sox hosting the Indians. I think, you know, the American League playoffs are going to be great because any one of four teams can win a championship, like, or can get to a championship and win a championship. I mean, Boston, Texas, Toronto, Cleveland, any one of those teams can win a championship. Don't think Baltimore has enough pitching, and I frankly don't think Baltimore has enough pitching. And who's the other team that I'm missing right now? Cleveland's not. It's not Cleveland. Well, basically Baltimore. That's it. I mean, Baltimore. I don't think Baltimore has enough pitching to win it. Again, American League. Any one of those teams, Baltimore, any one of those teams, Toronto, Boston, Texas, and Cleveland can win it. They can get to a World Series. National League is a little bit, I don't want to say one team is that much better than everybody else, but one team is that much better than everybody else. Chicago, I would be surprised, borderline shocked, if the Chicago Cubs don't get to the World Series. They are so much heads and shoulders above the competition. It's not even funny. That pitching staff, that offense, the bullpen. Normally, you're kind of worried about teams who clinch as early as Chicago that have been basically on cruise control since August. But I'm looking at the landscape of the National League, and what else? Who else is there? I mean, I have all the respect in the world as a San Francisco Giants fan for what they've done. That bullpen is not what it has been in those championship years. The bullpen is not. Again, you can't win a championship, a world championship in baseball without a great bullpen. You can survive shaky starting pitching, can't win. You're not winning a championship without a dominant bullpen. The Mets should be happy just to get into the playoffs. And be honest with you, Terry Collins, probably to me, is manager of the year. They had more. There's no team in this postseason that has had more injuries to star players than the New York Mets. You know, whereas David Wright, Lucas Duda, Harvey, DeGrom, Mets. I mean, they have had guys in and out the lineup year in and all year long. Terry Collins. And I say this because, you know, I keep up with Mets baseball, Yankee baseball. New York fans have fired Terry Collins about 35 different times this year. I mean, really, they wanted the guy gone, I don't know how many countless times this year. He's done a tremendous job to get that team to the postseason because they could have quit. There are 10 different times they could have quit over the course of the season. Again, Giants are always dangerous, but again, this is not a vintage Giant bullpen. Now, Bumgarner scares you. He can dominate a postseason. We know what he can do. Samardzija, Matt Moore, they have quality starting pitching. And we know their offense, they have clutch hitting, but they don't have, I don't think they have the bullpen. The Mets, I just don't think the Mets are deep enough. That bullpen is worn down. The Nationals are beat up physically. Ramos is a big loss. Strasburg is not going to pitch. You can't replace him. And the Dodgers, I don't trust the Dodgers as far as I can throw them. The Dodgers never do anything in the postseason. I'm not giving the Dodgers credit for getting to the postseason, considering they had like a $250 million payroll. They never should have been as bad as they were to begin the year, so I'm not giving them credit for getting to the postseason with that payroll. We used to rip the Yankees and Red Sox for the payrolls that they had. Dodgers are not immune from taking that beating. So, should be a good postseason. I'm leaning right now Chicago, Texas. I have that in my mind right now as the World Series. So I have Chicago and Texas. A lot of people want to see Chicago, Boston, you know, Big Papi Farewell Tour. farewell tour. We'll see what happens with that. Boston certainly can win it. I mean, Boston, good starting pitching. They know how to win. Best offense in baseball, top to bottom. So we'll see what happens in the postseason as it begins tomorrow evening with Baltimore and Toronto. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Atlanta takes care of Carolina 48-33. This was the Matt Ryan, Julio Jones show. Matt Ryan over 500 yards passing, 4 touchdowns. Julio Jones had a day for the ages, 12 catches, 300 yards, a touchdown. One of the great performances ever for a wide receiver. Only 6 guys in the history of the sport have gone over 300 yards receiving. Flipper Anderson holding the record against the I believe he did that against the Saints at the Superdome back in 1980. I remember that game, amazingly, showing my age here. I actually remember that game. He lit the Saints up. 336 yards receiving. That's the all-time record. Calvin Johnson had 329 a couple years ago. You get 300 yards receiving. I don't care who is against that. That's having a day. Of course, the big news out of this game, other than those two performances, was Cam Newton getting knocked out with a concussion. You know, he's got to protect himself. And more importantly, the NFL has got to protect him. That was a clear hit to the helmet. Now, what you want to say is, hey, at that point, he was a runner. But, Cam clearly has a target on his back. He's getting that LeBron James, Shaquille O'Neal treatment as far as, hey, big physical guy who should be able to take punishment, take a beating. Goes out with a concussion. I don't know how long. You know, we never know with these concussions. It depends on the player. We'll see how long he's out, if he's out even 1 week. Derek Anderson came in and did a good job. Listen, did a good job. It was like 16-19, 16-20, 165 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Did have an interception, but the game was over. Anderson is good enough to hold down the fort for 2 to 3 weeks. But right now, again, Carolina is very shaky right now. You don't want to see Cam Newton out for too long before things completely fall apart for them. Arizona falls to the Rams 17-13. Arizona falls to 1-3. The Rams improved to 3-1. Case Keenum actually looked like an NFL quarterback in this game, as Eli Manning almost throws an interception here. But again, this was all about the Ram defense. I would be more concerned about Arizona than Carolina, because Arizona seems to be suffering from post-traumatic ass-whooping syndrome. They still haven't mentally, recovered from that beatdown that Arizona on the hands of Carolina in the NFC Championship. I think it's a mental thing more than anything. There's still a ton of talent on that team with David Johnson and guys like Fitzgerald and John Brown. So it's not the talent. Just mentally, they're not there right now. And they're going to have to pick it up because Seattle and the Rams are not going anywhere. The Rams are better than I thought they were going to be. Seattle is Seattle. And, again, the story of this game, Carson Palmer knocked out of the game with a concussion. Now, there's already been talk about that he possibly could play Thursday. I don't see how he could possibly be cleared that quickly with a concussion. Game was Sunday or next Monday night, I don't see how he could be cleared that quick to play on a Thursday night. So we'll see what happens with that. But again, I'd be more concerned about Arizona than I would be Carolina. Oakland over Baltimore 28-27. Oakland improves to 3-1, 3 road wins in 4 games. Baltimore falls to 3-1. Exciting game, had 4 fourth quarter lead changes. David Carr had a big game, 4 touchdown passes. Michael Crabtree had 3 touchdown catches. But the story of this game, unfortunately, happened off the field in the concession stands, where you had a Baltimore fan a Baltimore fan in critical condition, beating almost within an inch of his life. Right now, again, the doctors, and this is the Baltimore Sun reported this, that the doctors basically gave the guy a 30% chance to live. Joseph Bauer is the name of the fan. Apparently he got into it with a couple of Raider fans. on the way out of the game, and you know this happens far too often at these stadiums. You know, when you get alcohol involved and you know rowdy crowds. Saw a couple of years ago with the Giants fan getting beat almost within an inch of his life by the Dodger fans. So hopefully this guy can recover to stable condition. Right now he's in critical condition. Thoughts and prayers are with him. Again, Joseph Bauer was the Baltimore Raven fan that got beaten to almost within an inch of his life. I mean, the guy sustained a severe head injury, and right now he's basically on critical condition. Not quite life support, but critical condition. And the Baltimore Sun reported that the doctors have given him a 30% chance to live. So certainly something you absolutely hate to hear. It shouldn't happen anywhere, let alone at a sporting event. Denver over Tampa, 27-7. The Broncos just keep rolling along with a dominant defense. Tampa Bay had no chance in this game. No chance with playing against that defense. I don't even blame Tampa, Jameis Winston. The Denver defense probably is the best in the league right now. Trevor Siemian was knocked out of the game with a shoulder injury. Paxton Lynch, who they like a lot, came in, did some nice work, one touchdown pass, not turn over the ball. But again, all Paxton Lynch has to do is just don't turn over the ball and hand off the ball to C.J. Anderson. Just play to your defense. And that's how dominant the Denver defense is right now. I mean, that defense, right, you know, again, they rush the passer. Von Miller might be the best defensive player in the league right now with J.J. Watt hurt. And then we know how great that secondary is. So Denver improves to 4-0. Tampa Bay falls to 1-3. And you had Indianapolis falling to Jacksonville 30-27. Both teams are at 1-3. Chuck Pagano could be the first coach fired. I can easily see Irsay overreacting and getting rid of Pagano. Just Indianapolis we've said this time after time. They are a soft football team on both sides of the ball. A team that is too dependent on one Andrew Luck. Jacksonville had 6 sacks in the game. Allen Hurts had a big touchdown catch. They held off Indianapolis despite 21 fourth quarter points to win 30-27. So that is week 4 in the books. Right now, Giants, Minnesota, nothing. As you would expect, this game is going to be a low scoring game. The Vikings have not given up more than 17 points in a game in their last 7 games, going as the Giants here have fumbled the ball and muffed a punt here. But Minnesota's defense has not given up more than 17 points in any game over the past 7 games going back to last season. They've gone up against some big-time quarterbacks, the likes of Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and now Eli Manning. So a quarter of the season, amazingly, we're through 4 weeks of the NFL season, and through all the craziness, and you know, uneven play and injuries, look who sits at the top in both conferences: New England, Denver, Pittsburgh, Seattle, Green Bay, Minnesota, Philadelphia. Now, Minnesota, Philadelphia, you might not expected it, but Green Bay, Seattle, Pittsburgh, New England, Denver, the usual suspects. In a league where no contract is guaranteed, as Minnesota now has the ball at the 40-yard line, trying to get the game's first score against the Giants. That game has again 0-0 first quarter. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Cyril Joel Quinn Sports Podcast. Thanks to my Facebook live audience for tuning in, and I will see you next time. Have a great rest of your day.